home. We are WNST, Towson of Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively taking the show back out on the road. I promise that I have not had my last crab cake, even though I'm wearing my Fadley shirt. We're going to be doing Fadley's Fridays live radio from 2 until 5 during Oriole home games. I will be joined down at the stadium by Luke Jones, who's at our ballpark reporter. And this is going to be a fun one. I'll be giving away lottery scratch-offs. Our friends at Window Nation, Jiffy Lube, all that will be with us as usual. But I've been stalking this guy for almost a year to have him on the program. And it's always a little tougher with musicians, especially when they don't have handlers, because, like, I met this guy, honestly. So I'm going to give the whole background and how I met this guy. And we're going to have a good time today because I've waited about 8 months to have him on the program. I took my wife to the airport last May to jet off with her sister. She and her sister have been climbing mountains and seeing things and traveling Europe and having fun. And on that particular night, I loved the anthem in DC. And I said, I'm driving my wife to the airport like 2 in the afternoon. It was a beautiful spring day. I love the music of Seal. I had seen Seal at Pier 6 many years ago. And I love Seal. I listen to Seal's music all the time. Always have from the minute I heard Crazy on, straight on through. Killer, straight on through. Dance Hall. So almost 30 years of that. 25 years of that at least. And I went to the concert and I went all alone and I was expecting to love the concert because I love the music, but I was blown away, literally blown away. And I've seen, several thousand concerts as a music critic. And that night I put a post up and said, I saw the best concert I've seen in years and years. And I go to 50, 60, 80 shows a year, depending on what year. And I said, I was just blown away by how great Seal was from the minute he hit the stage, his band, Trevor Horn, Video Killed the Radio Star, the Buggles, the whole night. And I was so moved by it, I put it on the internet. And my friend Casey Willett, my longtime football insider, said, the guitar player in the band, I went to high school with him. He's going to love that you love the show. And the next thing you know, I became a pen pals with a guy. And I'm just trying to get the pronunciation of Dozot right. But Matt Dozot, who was in a band with his wife, who has ties to Pat Benatar and ties to Ozzy Osbourne's daughter, not the television show, but the daughter, and also has ties to Rick Springfield as well, was out on the road with Seal and Casey Willett's childhood friend. And it is a pleasure to have you on. And the only reason I guess you're here is I put up how much I love the show. And then I drove to Philly the next night and saw it again, made my wife go to New York and see you guys at the Beacon Theater. And if Seal ever puts the project back together, it was just, it was beautiful. So thank you for coming on and thank you for making beautiful music, brother.
Thanks for having me. Amazing.
Where did you come from? Like, wait, tell me about Casey Willett. Let's start with that because that's more interesting than anything. Because when I think of Casey, first off, is a patriot and a guy that served in the military and was part of 9/11 at the Pentagon and covered the football team for a number of years for me, for a half a decade at least, and then worked at BAL and baseball. But, like, he's from Louisiana. You're Ruston, Louisiana. You two and Burt Jones, right?
That's it, yeah. We hail from a very small town. It's a college town, North Central Louisiana. Yeah, I've known Casey, you know, since we were kids. I haven't seen him in a while. I mean, he's kind of in your area. I've seen him once or twice, maybe on Dozot St. Marie tours. But yeah, that's that's it. We're Louisiana. My wife Heather is from South Louisiana, so it's different. Casey and I are way north. We're like 30 minutes south of Arkansas. She is like 45 minutes south of New Orleans. So. Different
I
worlds.
Had this conversation, and it had to do with Coonass and stuff with Brandon Stokely, who's another guy from the Northwest. You know, he's a raging Cajun, yeah. And there's three languages that they speak in the state of Louisiana. And one kind of étouffée, which I enjoy immensely. So you are a studio musician with a wife that you have beautiful music that you write together, and you wound up on stage with Seal. And yeah. I've known a lot of working musicians. You know, I just saw Toto a couple of weeks ago, which was a band full of, and Steely Dan, these bands that were put together full of these magical musicians that you strive to be a part of, that you become someone in demand when Seal says, I need a guitar player. How about that guy named Matt? Let's bring him out. I think he can sing and play.
Oh, it's wild. Yeah, the story's wild. I've been a fan like you since Crazy. I first heard Crazy. And Heather and I, we were putting a band together in Ruston, Louisiana. She came up there for college. and we're putting our rock band together. I just love Crazy. I was like, man, we should really try to cover this song. And it never worked out. You know, we had musicians in the band. Maybe they were too cool for that sort of thing or whatever, you know. And anyway, so she and I moved to Los Angeles 2002. My first thing that happened, like literally moved out on Friday. Monday was Labor Day. And Wednesday, I had an audition with Kelly Osbourne. And so Thursday, I was already like on Osbourne's salary. I was actually on the TV show too. You were saying not the TV show. I was on episodes of that as well. So yeah, my first show out here was Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and was touring the world. And you know, Heather and I were putting our rock band together. We did so. We got a deal. Hated that. Then we let that fall apart. Then we got a song in the movie Saw 3 that kind of launched us out, pretty heavy touring. And she and I, we always write songs that, and they're not always appropriate for the rock band. So we kind of filed these songs away. And then we're like, you know what? It would be cool if we like formed this duo, more acoustic duo that would, kind of tour in supplement of, you know, the band tours, right? We'd tour in between. But it just took off. Our like one of our first gigs was with Rick Springfield in Reno, and he heard us and he was like, "I absolutely love what you guys are doing. I absolutely love having you guys on my show, warming up the crowd. It just was a great energy." He's like, "If you want to do any shows with me in the future, you know," he does a stripped down solo acoustic thing. He's like, "If you want to do any shows with me in the future," he's like, "let me know. You're on." I was like, "How about let's do all of them?" He's like, "Okay, cool." So we've been like jet setting with Rick for, I don't know, since 2015, maybe. We've been like, you know, we'd get a call from the managers, like, "Hey, we got New Jersey, New York, whatever." Like, it's a lot of like weekend stuff. So we'd fly out with him, we'd do shows and come back. And then, you know, in between, Heather and I would do like performance videos for Doz St. Marie. So when Seal, you know, they had this is the 30th anniversary tour, right, of 30th, they're celebrating his first two albums. He was looking for a guitar player that could really sing. And so, you know, Heather and I have this lock with the harmonies, and he came across one of our performance videos and he's like, "That's my guy." So
He picked you
literally,
out of a video, like in the same way Journey picked the singer from like just a
yeah,
video. It wasn't an
there was
inside. And
no
you, let me
audition.
say this: you went out to L.A. and you didn't have a gig. You didn't have like you literally are the dude that put the guitar over your back, kind of like Tom Petty, kind of famously, you know,
Yeah.
shot video on the way. You went out to
Yeah.
L.A. and said, "We're going to figure out how to make this 20 years ago."
Yeah. Heather and I, honestly, what happened is, you know, to tie, you know, Casey back in, you know, we had our band in Ruston, Louisiana. We started doing Radius tours and it grew outward, and we would play out here in LA, I don't know, every few months. We were kids. We worked at a car dealership, you know, had decent jobs. You know, I was still living at home. We're just, you know, fine. Let's go blow money. I don't care, you know? Anyway, but it's a college town. So the one thing that plagued us was keeping a band of musicians together. 'Cause you know, people graduate and then they would go on to whatever their careers, you know, music is a tough go, right? So like our drummer was like, "Hey guys, I got this gig for like computer program is like 100,000 a year." I was like, "You go, don't stay in this damn band, you know?" It was hard to get. We were big enough to get interest for players to be interested in joining our band, but not enough interest for them to move to the small town, Louisiana.
And let's
And
be
so, like,
honest now, that you talk about 20 years ago, you're closer to my kid's age than my age, from what I can tell. I don't have an age on you, but you're definitely younger than me, you know, hanging around Casey and being a but when Napster came and the record companies fell apart, you kind of came at like a tough place where like everybody had to earn their way and the internet wasn't ripe enough yet to kind of
right.
make a thing, right? Like
Yeah.
you hit it a different place than in the era of my people, my age, and like I
Yeah.
talk about Child's Play and the people of my era, they got a record company and got signed and went to New York and did shit. Like some of that just went away and for a
Yeah.
number of years, right? That avenue wasn't the same avenues that were available in the late 80s, early 90s. They were gone by the
Yeah.
time that happened for you.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we kind of hit it at a wrong time. You know, we missed the boat as far as that goes, as you're saying. But I mean, with that opens up new opportunities, and you know, we had to adapt, but we were not going anywhere where we were. we just couldn't get musicians to move to small town Louisiana to join the band. And that's what we really would have liked to have done, because it was a great hub. It was a great place to live, and we could tour in a radius and do well. But so, you know, I think what it was for me and Heather was when 9/11 happened. So, you know, saw the, you know, planes hit the buildings, saw immediate loss of life, right? And then you kind of get introspective and like, wow, everything could go tomorrow. Are we really doing everything we can to follow this passion of ours or not? And we decided, no, we're not really. We got to do something radical. We need to move to a big city. It was at that time, it was really either New York or LA. We had been playing LA, so we started to grow a following. We had like a network a little bit here, so it was a easier decision, right, to just move out here. But no, we literally sold everything that didn't make music, and we just packed it up in a van and we moved out here.
I hear that from so many people. You know, Gina Schock from the Go-Go's is a Dundalk person, our friend. She said, 1978, I put it all in a pickup truck, went out to LA, and that, you know, joined a punk band, and that, you know, that's the way to do it, you know?
Yeah. It's, I couldn't recommend it to everybody.
at all, right?
It's a terrible idea. it was difficult, but we were playing shows out here. So we were building a following, we were building a network, we were building at least a stepping stone for a pathway to success. I got the attention of band Limp Bizkit was the band. They at the time I had like short spiky hair, I played the Paul Reed Smith guitars, jumping all over the stage, you know, being crazy rock guy. And some of those guys came out to one of our shows at the Whiskey before I moved here. And when their guitar player quit the band, they started doing a search for a guitar player. And they hired a local guy who kind of puts all the bands together out here. He is like the guy, and found me somehow in Louisiana. They're like, hey, the band would like you to come out and audition. And so I wasn't really into it. I was, you know, that, you know, dumb kids like, I have a band. Yeah, I'm no traitor. I already have a band, you know. But Heather and my dad were like, really, this is an opportunity. You go do this, you know. Like, okay, whatever. It's a free trip to LA. Flew me out. Something happened with management and they screwed up scheduling the band. They gave the band the weekend off. So the band just scattered like cockroaches. They were all over, you know, doing their thing. So I didn't even audition. Flew me back home. They were apologetic. They're like, we'll fly you back out. And I was like, yeah, man, I wasn't into it. First, I'm really I don't want to do that. But the guy that they hired to find me, the talent scout guy, couldn't understand that LA abbreviation for Louisiana wasn't LA abbreviation for Los Angeles. He was calling me like almost on a weekly basis. He was like,
hey, thought you were in LA.
He did. And so he kept calling me. And so, you know, Heather and I get home.
They just thought you had a weird area code, the 504 or something, right?
Right. So he would call and it would be like, hey, you know, Nine Inch Nails is looking for a guitar player. Can you pick up the CD at SIR, which is like the rehearsal place in Hollywood? Pick up the CD at SIR on Wednesday, auditions on Friday. And I would call him back. I was like, I don't live there. I can't do that. But he never quite got it. I would keep getting these calls. Finally, Heather and I moved out. And the day that I, you know, we were still in boxes. I called him. I was like, hey, Barry, I'm here now. You know, whatever you have, I'll come audition, because like the guy had literally called me so many times. I was just like, no, I can't do it. I can do this. And she's like, oh, cool. We got Kelly Osbourne on Wednesday. I was like, great. I'll be there. You know. And I left the house. It's like, you know, Heather,
is it
like,
that hard to find a guitar player in LA, Matt?
Well, this was cattle call. Like there were a bunch. And it was being filmed for the Osbournes. So I'd never auditioned for anything in my whole life. And here I am auditioning for Kelly Osbourne, and I've got like MTV cameras in my face. Like as I'm trying to like perform, this is like the weirdest thing ever. And I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to get this gig. I mean, this isn't my gig, but like at least I can show Barry what I can do, and we can get FaceTime or whatever. And that was it. I did my thing, and Sharon was like, that's your guy. And so literally, yeah, that was it. Like Jay Leno was the first show, my first show here in LA, and that night flew to London to go on like a 3-month tour with Robbie Williams. I don't know, you may not, he's not that well known here, but like he's pop god over there. He was like in the boy band, and so like we did 3 months of shows with him. And I think the average attendance at those shows was 75,000 people. So, you know, the top was 155,000 people we played to in Dublin. We did Nebworth. We broke Guinness Book of World Records. Nebworth, we did sold out 3 nights, so 366,000 people,
And
three
6 months
nights.
earlier, you're in Ruston, Louisiana, and
That's
just
it.
trying to
That's how
book
it happened.
bars, bar,
So
a bar band, basically, right?
that's it.
Literally.
Yeah. So, you know, it sounds, it seems like an overnight success, but there was like so much work that went into that. And, you know, I always say that, like everybody's like, oh, it's an overnight success. It's like, yeah, but I mean, I promise you can show 10 years of hard work to get to that overnight success. Always. There's a story behind it. It's not like I literally just on a whim, we moved out to California and I got this audition. That's not how it happened. But,
Matt Dozot is our guest. The band is Dozot Saint Marie. They are actually playing up in Reading in a couple of weeks to the Rick Springfield and with REO Speedwagon. I have friends who chase Rick around, so they'll be there. I may be off in Florida that week doing the spring training thing, so I may have to see you on the
okay.
side with the wife when you're doing like a the next tour through with Pat Benatar or Rick or whatever you're doing. Because I know I saw Pat Benatar and Neil last year, and what they do. I don't equate it to what you do, but it feels a little similar to some degree. Or like you're nodding your head. Would you say, yeah? Like if I say to people, it's a little, it, you know, you'll like my wife and I put your songs on 2 weeks ago, and she saw that your wife has had a battle as well. And my wife's a two-time leukemia survivor. She's like, you're meant to have this guy on the show. This is like great music. I like this band. You know, as you're watching your videos. So, and it is amazing in the modern world. You click a button, and I can learn about you instantly, literally.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, but you know, Pat and Neil are more a duo than a lot of people realize until, because, you know, until recent years, it was just Pat Benatar, right? And she's like a solo pop artist, but like it's always been Pat and Neil. He's the guitar force and writer and all that stuff. And so, yeah, obviously,
Spiders
Pat
still
and
got it,
Heather
dude. They
have
still
like,
do it.
oh,
They're
they
great,
do. Yeah,
man.
absolutely. And Pat and Heather have this big voice for like little people, but like this monster voice. And so, yeah, I mean, there's definitely similarities. Pat was so good to us on that tour. I mean, we would be, Heather and I would be, we're always at the merch table after, you know, we're trying to sling merch, man, make that money, right? So we're at the merch table shaking hands or whatever. And, you know, Pat, between whatever song, every night it would never fail. She's like, how about that Dozot Saint Marie? How awesome are they? Whatever. And we could hear that, and you would see people flocking down to come buy merch from us. And we were selling like, you know, 200 to 300 CDs every night on that tour. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. That was a really good tour for us. That tour also scared us a little bit in a good way, because we were doing with Rick, it was always acoustic shows, and we're primarily acoustic duo, right? And so we were opening Rick's solo acoustic shows, and those have always been awesome. And then this opportunity came up with Rick and Pat, but those are both full bands. This is now rock band, and we're still stepping out there with an acoustic, and we're just two people. And we step out on stage, we start blasting into an a cappella piece is how we like to start the show, which is really cool because, you know, you've got like, you know, 3,000 to 4,000 people, and there's like a lot of noise, a lot of chatter, and we start doing this a cappella piece, and it's like,
Like
you
church,
know,
literally, right?
yeah. All the noise level comes down. It's like, okay, we got this. This is cool. But it's scary to do that because, like, again, we're just two little people with an acoustic guitar, and behind us is just like massive production. And, you know, Neil's guitar rig is massive, you know. And so we're like, is this gonna work? You know, it really worked. It like big time. People are like, wow, you know, because it's pretty ballsy. And we like doing stuff like that that scares us a little bit.
Well, you
It's
know,
good for
John
you.
Mayer went out and did an acoustic thing and had an opening act every night that played the piano. It was very Billy Joel-ish. And I'm like, there's appropriate music for everything. And I guess a time and a season to be in Kelly Osbourne's band or to audition for like, but the variety of music and songwriting and sort of the pop sensibility, but growing up in a small town where country was coming at you, rap was coming, things are coming at you in different ways. Seal. Let's get back to Seal. Thiel, because that's how I found you.
Thiel.
Matt Dauzat is our guest there. Find them. It's Dauzat, St. Marie. Find them out on the internet. Find them out on YouTube. Go listen. This guy comes to me because he's Casey Willett's childhood friend, and they went to high school together. Casey said you were the only guy that was nice to him when his family moved there. So, you know, he said you guys were where it became friends, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That is great.
Well,
yeah,
he,
fun,
you know,
growing up there.
He did the sports thing for us here, and yeah. You know, he immediately gave me this relationship with you based on Seal. And I would say the Seal thing for me kind of came honest. I was a music critic from 85, 86 to about 92, started really full into sports radio, but I've always had musicians on. I've always had friendships. I'm still friends with guys in the Smithereens and the Alarm from 40 years ago when I made their friendships and have kept them all these years later, and not even through
That's
sports,
cool.
But like, I would say the Seal thing for me comes very honestly because I've always loved the music. He doesn't make a whole lot of music. The marriage to Heidi and the sort of the larger than life personalities, not like a touring guy who's out all the time with a band. This part where your phone rings and it's Seal, and you've been out with other bands and done other things, and obviously with your wife and the duo that you've done. Give me the soup to nuts on how that happens and how I found you on stage that night, because you said Seal identified me, but that doesn't mean you go run around the world with Seal or that it actually bonds and works. And you guys have done Good Morning America as a duo with, you're very comfortable with your wife, that it wasn't even a band piece. And he bragged about you and Trevor bragged about you. And the next day I'm Facebooking with you, but I don't know a lot about you. You must be one hell of a talent, obviously, that you could go out and play the phone book if you had enough time to go out and be anybody's guitar player if you needed to be.
I've been at it for a while. but like, yeah, Seal, he is a deep diver on YouTube. So I guarantee you he did his homework on me. But he definitely found me through performance videos with Dauzat St. Marie. Literally, I got heads up from the manager. He's like, hey, Seal's about to FaceTime call you in 10 minutes. I'm like, okay. I called up Heather. She was out shopping, doing some errands and stuff. And Heather's she's a firecracker. She's like loud. She's always coming in the house yelling. So, you know, you'll never guess what happened, whatever it is. She's Cajun too. Like they're really animated. And so I was like, hey, don't come in the house, you know, screaming some crazy shit. I'm going to be on a FaceTime call with Seal. And she's like, Seal. I'm like, yeah, Seal. She's like, okay. You know, so that's
well, in
literally
your
how
business,
it happened.
That's not that weird, though, right? The day you get there, meet Sharon Osbourne, you're in a band, meets Jen Leno. Like, that's where it'll start. If you, every day's not that exciting, or, you know, like, but but you get calls from people you've never met, and they say, come audition, or hey, I want to meet you, or write a song with you. That happens when you're this far in, right?
This was unique in that there was zero audition. He called me up. We chatted for about 30 minutes. He said, hey, and I've got this 30th anniversary tour coming up. I really want to have top-notch players. I want to have, and I really want to have as much of the backing vocals live as possible. He's like, I've been checking you out. I love what Dauzat St. Marie does. I love what Heather does. I do not think I could ever do what Heather does. He's a big fan. And he said, what you have is beautiful, and I want that for this. Would you join my band for this, you know, 30th anniversary tour? And I was like, absolutely. He's like, oh, I'm so relieved to hear you say that. And I'm like, what do you mean? what other answer was there?
What did you know? So you get a call. You don't, like, you had no rehearsal, you know. Do you listen to any of the music around? Because I do. Like, I heard Fly Like an Eagle, Seal's version of Fly Like an Eagle, in the Wise Markets last week, just walking through the aisle. And I'm like, you notice these things. It's not his song, Steve Miller, you know, whatever. But, like, his music is sort of ubiquitous in different ways that you would know Kiss from a Rose. You would know Prayer for the Dying, probably, if you were a music fan at all. But like Fast Change, you might not know, you know, like
the
depth of the albums or Bring It On, which I knew. I always gauge it by my wife, who loves music, but she didn't know all. She knew the hits or whatever.
Yeah.
But where are you when you're 10 minutes out on Seal of like, can I play your music? Do I like your music? Can this work? That's a fascinating. insane because you guys look like you had been together forever that night, and I think it may have been your 10th show together or something, right?
I think, yeah, he and I have a chemistry immediately. But no, I didn't have time to go do any deep diving. I just assumed of, I'll be able to figure it out. You say yes, and then you figure it out, right? I did not know how challenging that would be. I did know, obviously I knew Crazy, I knew Kiss from a Rose. There's some songs on there that are really difficult, were really hard to figure out too, because the guitar player that was used at the time had some really weird styles. He had some really weird tunings. So it was kind of difficult to figure out. But I think, so I said yes to the 30th anniversary, and I had time to learn before we were into rehearsals. I had plenty of time, but then I got a separate call. It's like, hey, by the way, we're going to go do these private gigs in, I think one was in Al Ula, Saudi Arabia, and the other was in Sharjah, United Arab Emirates. And I'd not met Seal in person until I met him on stage, by the way. That was my first
See, I knew
time
this
meeting
story. I knew this was going to get good
him.
because I knew you weren't chums for life. And there's always that first moment. There's
No.
that level of trust in any band. And to pull it off like beautifully, like I see shows all the time from bands that have been together from they were kids. I see bands that don't like each other. It genuinely looked like you guys were pulling things off. And I saw you amongst each other on stage. And I saw you at Anthem, and I don't know how far you were in at that point. You're only a couple of weeks into the tour, but it felt like it was an all-star band sort of pulling it together, and there was a level of, these are good songs. This is well produced as an album, but really hard to pull off live because when Trevor put that stuff together 30 years ago, it was meant to be a dance hall kind of thing, really, not
And
a live performance, right?
it's so incredibly crafted. There's so many guitar tones and guitar parts. I had to really dive in. And what was cool, Trevor gave me the multi-tracks. So I've got multi-tracks of these records, so I can like listen to soloed out parts, right? Which is really cool, because I'm also a producer. So now I'm getting to study. This is a master class and from the master, right? Now I get to hear all this stuff, so that helped out a lot. But I had to tour on that tour with like, I think I had like, I don't know, 14 guitars, which sounds crazy, but that's because each guitar had a very specific sonic purpose. I program like the effects, all the guitar tones, everything. It took me, I don't know, a month and a half of really dialing in. Because I really wanted this is the 30th anniversary, right? I wanted everything to sound perfect, just like the record. Maybe rocked up a little bit, right? For the live show, but I wanted to be true to those albums. So I went in and in a very academic way and dissected. I dialed in tones as perfectly as I could. So that was a great exercise. Now those private shows, that was a different thing. So those shows had a lot of these, Seal did a jazz standards record, right? And so about, I would say maybe 60% of the set list was these jazz standards. I don't do that. Do you see a lot of like young guitar players playing jazz standards? No, you don't. They're old dudes because it takes a lifetime of doing this to get that good. And these guys can like read, they're reading their either sheet music or charts or whatever it is they do. And they're just, these things change. There's these weird chords that change every couple of
I
beats. And
remember
it's
Neil
just like,
Peart saying that he went back and had to relearn how to play drums because he wanted to learn to play a different way. And you get older, things change as well. But it's the hardest thing in the world to do is to learn how to play, right?
freaked me out. Freaked me out. I had no business doing it, but like, so, and then Heather recognized it too. This is really, so it was just like, I also got invited to audition for Ozzy Osbourne whenever they got rid of Zakk Wylde back in whatever that time was. And so, at that time it was the same deal, right? I was, when I was younger guy, I was like huge Zakk Wylde fan, just, and I was a
I hope you're
pseudonym
a
Zakk
Randy Rhodes
Wylde.
fan too, or you're
Yes,
too young for
but I
that.
just loved, yes, I think it was maybe too young for that, right? And so I was huge Zakk Wylde, and so I loved it. But at some point, I guess I got to a point. It's like, man, I'm never going to be as good as Zach Wilde, so I'm going to focus on songwriting, riff writing, this and that. So I just kind of stopped all the shreddery stuff, and it's like, not really, you know, whatever. And then years later, I get this call, and like, Sharon calls. She's like, you know, I want you to come
can
in
you
to
shred?
audition for Ozzy, right? And so like, oh, good, right? I can do it, right? But if you're not doing it every day, it's hard. You got to jump back in. And then I also, over the years, just chatting with Ozzy, I knew that when Ozzy hears his songs, he hears them the way that Randy played them. So I knew, you know, if I wanted to get that gig, go now study Randy, go back and you know, go that route. And so I really studied that. Literally, I was playing 12, 14, sometimes 16 hours a day, sitting watching YouTube videos. Heather's putting plates of food in my face. You got to eat, you know, I bled the whole thing, you know? And I had, you know, a few weeks to do that, went in, and that was awesome. It was really great playing with Ozzy and the band. You know, I remember I played Crazy Train with him the first time, and he turned to me, and he's like, I haven't heard my song played like that in however many, since whatever year, you know, I don't remember. And I was just like,
God, that's a beautiful, might be the greatest
happened.
thing you ever, anybody ever said to anybody,
Yeah.
right? Literally,
that was
right?
amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a top fiver.
Yeah, that was amazing. Obviously, that went a different way, that, you know, and great. That's fine. But this, I liken what happened with Seal to this, but now it's jazz standards, right? And so now I'm having to really like dive into this art form that's totally different than what I'm used to, and same deal, playing 12, 14 hours a day, has put
Seal
plates of
saying,
food
I
in
have
my
confidence
face.
in you. I have confidence in you, Matt.
Seal just he likes to be put in those situations. You know, Seal was good friends with David Bowie, and I think Bowie told him something to the effect that if you're in a comfortable place, maybe you're not in the best place. Comfortable is maybe not the best place to be, right? You might want to be in positions that challenge you a bit more than that. And so Seal had told me, you know, before, he likes when something may not go right on stage, you know, or the fear that there could be a train wreck. He thrives in those moments.
Is that why he was walking on chairs out in the 15th row every single night with a pitch pipe and trying to figure out, like, even hearing how he could sound in a room to see how great he could be? Because, dude, I've seen
pushing
a
the
lot.
Limits.
Dude, I've seen a lot of shit, bro, in my life. I have been on stages, off stages, in pits, thrown around, like all of that. I watched him do it three times out in the crowd, and it, from you on stage watching your faces, you had no idea where it was going, right? Literally.
No. And he likes to throw visual cues to us. So I always have to keep a line of sight with Seal. And I remember, like, the first show, like I said, and we had no rehearsal, zero. I hadn't met the guy, zero rehearsal, right? Now we're playing difficult material. We bust out into, I think it was probably Bring It On, and he goes out into the crowd. And so on those shows, we don't have our, I don't think we had our own lighting designer. I think you're relying on house lights, which were beautiful. Everything was great. But when Seal would go beyond where the lights are shining, now
there's
I cannot see
underhangs
Seal.
In a lot of these theaters, to your point.
I cannot see Seal. So if I can't see his eyes, and I know that, like, we're freeform jamming. There's no tape, right? So I'm relying on seeing Seal look at me, and okay, now I know we're in the final sequence. We're doing this. I can't see Seal. Seal's beyond the lights, but Seal would have no idea of that, by the way, because he can see me just fine. He doesn't know I can't see him. I don't know how we pulled it off. We did. It was great. It was, you know, our first shows were beautiful. I did that second show and got off stage. They put me in a jet, hurried me off, went to Trevor's house, whom I had not met, and stayed with Trevor for a while working on this 30th anniversary.
Now, he's a legend, right?
Stuff.
I'm not going to hold you all night,
right?
But you got to say something about Trevor.
Yeah.
You know,
Trevor,
like,
absolute legend. You know, I don't know how, if people, the people that know him here, are in love with his work and his, the just like he kind of created the sound of the 80s, right? Just legendary. I knew his name and I knew generally what he did, but I went on, I think, AllMusic, right? And I was like trying to look at his credits, and so I was scrolling and scrolling, and eventually I was like, I can't, I'm out of it. This is too much. There was no end to it. The credits, it's insane. And
And
then,
for him to
meeting
go out on the
him.
road and do this at this point in his life with Sia
Right.
when he has eschewed it. Like, I saw the Buggles up on the, like, literally, I was out in front of the Anthem that night. I saw the Buggles and I'm like, the Buggles have never toured. And Trevor, like,
Never.
what? And I for totally forgot that Trevor was behind Seal. I didn't equate. I equate Trevor more with Yes in that era than I do with
Yeah.
Seal necessarily. Because it Seal's not like an active artist in that way where he's putting bands out, putting music out and touring every year for 30 years, right? He wasn't that kind of
Right.
artist. To see Trevor Horn up on stage and you guys doing the Buggles thing and wearing those funny shirts, best version of the Buggles, and I sort of was in on the joke, and I'm
Yeah.
like, what is this? And I but he is a legend, and at the DC show that night, all the British people were yelling his name, and I got in on it. I was up front, and he got embarrassed, and Seal had to start because we were everybody was catcalling Trevor because nobody's seen him on a stage, like,
Yeah.
right?
It's yeah, that's amazing. And it was the absolute perfect band, right? So on stage right is all like OG Seal personnel. You've got Trevor, who produced those records, has been with Seal. I mean, kind of, from the beginning, right? So Trevor's our musical director. He's playing bass, fantastic bass player, holding it down. That's beautiful. You've got Earl, who played on a lot of the records, on drums. Just an amazing player, and so it's great. And so stage left, we're all kind of the newcomers, right? The new guys. We've got Latanya, who you said you saw Steely Dan. She's in Steely Dan. That's her main gig, but she's singing backups.
It
And
really
then
was an
obviously
all-star band,
Everett,
right? Like literally, right?
Everett behind me, percussion, backing vocals. We stole him from Bon Jovi. That's Bon Jovi's guy. And yeah, I mean, it's just and then obviously Jamie on keys. Jamie was huge on all those records. He definitely shaped the sound, and he was with Seal for a long, long time too, and hadn't been in a while because he was with Mayer, John Mayer, and My Chemical Romance, which is an interesting pairing for me, but that's fantastic. So yeah, it just all came together. We were
It
able
was
to do it,
Ozzy
and
Osbourne and
then
Seal too, by the way, just so you know. A
right
little different.
right and then Trevor was just like, hey, they said the Buggles is going to be opening, and Trevor just kind of had us be his band for that. We were the Buggles as well, which I've never done double duty like that. It was awesome. That set was very challenging, as musically challenging. It was awesome. I mean, so amazing to be able to play these iconic songs. But as a guitar player, something like that first song, we come out with Two Tribes, right? Frankie Goes to Hollywood. I had not heard the song before, but I mean, honestly, it's like coming out playing a Metallica riff. I mean, that's what it is. It's like a million notes, right? We come out just right off the gate. I mean, Trevor said every night it was just kind of like driving a train right off a cliff. You never know what's going to happen, and it came out fine. But it's pretty ballsy to come out with that one. That, that's probably technically the most challenging song of the whole night. And I loved it. I mean, it was beautiful. And then, playing all those hits, it's amazing. And then Trevor also had a lot of fans at these shows, as you saw, right? We didn't know what to expect. I mean, I knew he had some fans, but usually the whole front row was all Trevor Horn fans. Being able to tour with a legend like that, it was amazing. And then obviously we're playing with the headliner Seal, and it's on the 30th anniversary. It doesn't get any better than that, I can tell you that.
Well, it was a pleasure having you on the program. I want to give you a chance to promote your main act, which is coming to our neck of the woods.
That's right.
Not close, but 100, less than 100. My friend's going. If you love REO Speedwagon, and I do, I love Kevin Cronin. And I say that out loud, and then all this stuff shows up in my timeline, which is just fine with me. And Rick Springfield as well. Rick did a crazy thing like 2 summers ago. He's down in Ocean City, Maryland, and he got up and jammed with a band on a stage, and it like got viral. Everybody around here saw, hey, Rick Springfield's in Ocean City jamming songs with, with people we know. You're going out for a little piece
Do
with
you know
them,
why
and
that happened?
go ahead.
So the reason that happened is because we were on tour with them. That was on the Pat Benatar tour, right? So we were playing.
The Delaware Shed, maybe. Yeah.
Where were we? I don't remember.
Go ahead.
So what happened is, I don't know if it was Rick or if it, I think it was Pat was sound checking, and they were checking the kick drum, right? And it was so loud that a large piece of the ceiling fell down. It fell on Neil's grand piano and some of his guitar rig and stuff. And so they had to cancel the show entirely. And Rick was just like, well, got nothing to do. So they just went to a local bar. They were whooping up, having fun. Of course, Rick is he's a old school performer, man. He knows when to ham it up, and he'll get up and jam with anybody because he's the real deal. And so yeah, that's what happened. They were just hanging out, having some drinks, and Rick went up and did his thing, and I guess people got it on video. But that's because we lost the gig because they had to cancel it because the ceiling fell.
Well, I'm glad that I hope the ceiling doesn't fall on you guys in Reading, anywhere else you are. When
Oh.
you come back through, we'll get you proper crab cakes. Don't, look, maybe we'll eat those crawfish down there and boiling stuff. We're steaming stuff up here, doing it upright. But you put your bring your Cajun and all that up here, and we'll
We're
get it going
down.
with our Chesapeake Bay thing. Thank
We are
you for
connoisseurs of crab cakes.
well, for making this happen. I know you've been a working musician
Thank
trying
you.
to get yourself ready to get out on the road with your wife. I would highly recommend, if you don't know the music of Dozat Marie, Saint Marie, Dauzat Saint Marie. You can find it out on YouTube, anywhere great music is played. And Matt, who was a childhood friend of Casey Willett, who has been kind enough to bless me with a little bit of time. Thanks for giving me the background of the story. I
Thank
will say
you.
this, those were beautiful evenings of music that you were a part of with
Thank
Seal.
you.
And if he puts the thing back together again, I hope you're a part of it. And I hope I'm sitting there and I live long enough to go jam and dance for an evening with you guys. All right.
We'll do it again on the 40th anniversary.
No, let's not wait that long. Come on now. Don't make me wait 9 years now. I mean,
I'm in. Talk to the boss. I'm in
I'm
whenever.
sure. Get him on the phone. Tell him I need to get him back out of here. Tell
Let's
Trevor
go.
he needs to put this thing back together while we all have still energy. Thank you very much. Matt Dozat
Thank you.
is easily to find. He's even on Casey's Facebook page and my Facebook page as well. Get out and listen to some good tunes, and a very, very versatile and gifted musician for coming on with us. We're going to
Thank
be
you.
doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour downtown at Fadley's. I've been wearing my Fadley shirt. We're going to be doing live on Fridays when the Orioles are home, and we're doing a whole bunch of other things with the Maryland Crab Cake Tour around here as I breathe in and get my sea legs back for new ownership, for football offseason, and for spring springing here in Baltimore. I'm Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.